This is ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland, streaming live at ESPNCleveland.com and on the ESPN Radio mobile app.
Conrad.
Dave DiNatale, Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble back here on Cleveland Browns Daily. I'm in for Nathan and Gibbs. Both are off today and tomorrow. We'll be back with you tomorrow as well. It is time to bring in producer Matt Fontana because we're going to play another award-winning edition of Fact or Fiction.
We ask the questions. You make the predictions. It's time to play Fact or Fiction. Fact or Fiction.
Afternoon, gentlemen. First question on Fact or Fiction. Josh McCown will start a regular season game for the Browns this year.
Gribbs?
Come out of the gate. I know, that's a tough one. <game.
laughs> I'm going to go with fact. That's what I'm leaning toward because it's just the way the league has been. We saw the value of because at this point I would project him to be that number two guy. Mm-hmm. And with the way we saw this league last year, there were a lot of quarterback injuries last year. A lot of nicks and bruises, a lot of everything that can pile up during a season. It can be a long year. And your bet in this the recent years, it's tough to see a quarterback go from start to finish. That's why I would say it would be one or so.
I put a quick thought into it, not as much as Gribbs, but I also said fact.
Wow.
And that is no knock or indictment against RG3. I just think it's the way things are in this league where, you know, how many guys, 32 teams, the guy starts all 16 games, you know, every season. It's few and far between.
Zero in this division last year.
Zero in this. Thank you very much. Yeah. So I'm going to say it's a fact.
I mean, we haven't had a Browns quarterback go 16 games, what, since Couch?
I think that's right.
I mean, it's been a long time. I'm going to say fiction just to be different. For some reason, I don't know if McCown's going to be on the roster when we start the season. I don't think he is.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not saying I agree with that. I just don't know if he will be. Next.
Fact or fiction?
The Browns should name a starting quarterback today.
Fiction.
Or in the next month.
Yeah, fiction. And it's not going to happen in the next month. Hugh guaranteed that. It actually said he gave reporters all permission to start their vacation now. There will be no surprise announcement coming during the dead period. I think at some point you want to have that guy lined up by about the second or third preseason game.
Yeah,
I think that's about it.
I agree.
Before that dress rehearsal third preseason game,
which will be at Tampa.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say fiction. There's no need. There's no need. I'm not in favor of it. Keep them guessing, and let things play out. I want this to be a gladiator coliseum type training camp, whereas if we have this many battles, let the battles happen. Why do we want a winner before the battle even starts? Okay? Let the battles happen, and whoever stands on top wins. That means we have a competitive team with players that fought and felt, and these coaches feel like they've won the opportunity.
And I'm going to make it unanimous. I think it's fiction as well. I just like the idea of nothing being handed to anybody. You know, that Robert Griffin III, you know, he's getting his second chance, but he's having to earn it, and it's not something that's just anointed. He has to come in here and prove that not only can he go through practices, OTAs, minicamp, but that he can go through training camp, and perhaps, as Gribbs said, the first or second preseason game before the job is his. I have no problem with that.
Fact or fiction?
Justin Gilbert will be the opening day starter cornerback opposite of Joe Hayden.
Fiction, because I think Tremont Williams plays at a pretty high level for his age. I think he's a very important member of this defense, and I think he's got that second corner spot locked up. I thought he played that position very well before the Joe Hayden injury last year.
Do you think Hayden will be ready by?
I would think so. I'm optimistic. I think we've seen some good progress from Joe Hayden. It's just one of those things that we'll see through the first few weeks of training camp. I think his goal is training camp, and barring a setback, that's what you would expect from him.
I'm going to say fiction as well. I think Joe Hayden, Tremont Williams will be the duo. But I'll throw a question back to you, Gribbs. Is Does Justin Gilbert start a game at cornerback in 2016? Fact or fiction?
I think it's trending toward fact at this point.
Okay.
Because he's made the most of these first few months. The next few are much more important for what he's able to do. And that room right now with the amount of a lot of players with a similar level of experience at the similar stage of their career fighting for those third and fourth cornerback spots. And that's where he's going to have some real competition. That job's not going to be handed to him. I think his best opportunity to just get a job was when he arrived here as a rookie.
Right.
Now he's in a big cluster of guys who are all fighting for the same thing, fighting to keep their careers going in the NFL.
Sure, and I'll continue on my point on why I said fiction. You kind of brought it up on my thought is Justin Gilbert's been taking all the reps in place of Joe Hayden, who's been hurt. Well, we know when Joe Hayden comes back, he's going to have a job. Now, had Tremont Williams been in and out of OTAs or missed some of the minicamp, you can start to question, you know, his age, his salary, and so on and so forth, and not being completely available. But he has been completely available, and as you said, for his age and the salary we have invested in him, he's still a really good player.
Yeah, super durable, and you also see him being used on punts and stuff like that in practice. I mean, he's still a guy that can do a lot. And even yesterday when he was asked, you'll hear this later, but that – you know, when you saw these veterans getting released, did you think he wouldn't? He was pretty confident he was going to be back here.
Okay. I'm going to also say fiction. I don't think he'll be the starter day one. I do think Justin Gilbert will have a better season. I hope he will.
I would say that if Justin Gilbert were sitting here right now, I'd ask him this question. Are you in the best place you've ever been as a professional football player as you've ever been right this second? And I would assume, based around everything that we've seen and heard, that the answer would be vehemently yes. Yeah. So he's growing as a pro, which I continually talk about. He's getting better on the football field. He's being a better teammate. He's being coachable. And he's one of those guys that if I had an opportunity to put a tracking beacon on him, he's a guy that I'd want to know what he's doing in these next 6 weeks to come in and sew up the fact that he is that next guy. Because it is a very interesting room.
With him, it's never conditioning. It's always the stuff like just technique and everything like that, just keeping your head focused on what you're doing. I think those are the things. I don't know how you can just keep your head tracking, keeping your head focused on the task at hand, but that's something that is the utmost importance for him going forward.
Next.
Fact or fiction.
In his career, Cam Irving will make it to a Pro Bowl as a center.
Ooh. 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 Man. Good one, Fontana.
I certainly hope it's a fact. But it's
what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, that's really tough. It's so early. I'm just going to hopefully say fact at this point. Because I haven't seen enough of him at center to definitively say fiction. At this point,
sure.
For 2016, I'll go fiction probably, but then there's time for him to grow into this position. I mean, he's played 5 official games in his life at center, but it seems more natural for him going forward. And that's a player that it seems like he's really embraced this different kind of role. And you're seeing some more leadership out of him. You're seeing him hold up his technique pretty well. He's got a really good mindset right now.
I was gonna say just flat out fiction, but I'll say fact that I don't believe it will be in the next 3 years.
Right.
I don't think Cam Irving will be a pro. He will. I'll say he'll re-sign with the Cleveland Browns after his rookie contract expires because of his play over the next 3 years at center, and he'll be the center of our future. And eventually, with Hugh Jackson and all the pieces and his play of this offense, the same way that Joe Thomas became the stalwart, you know, early in his career. Cam Irving's going to have it a little bit later in his career. He's going to settle in and be a very, very good center in this league, especially playing very well in this division.
And here's a question about the politics of Pro Bowl voting, because players handle a lot of this.
Yes.
If Cam Irving went out and was the best center in the league, do you think he'd even would he get enough attention for that to even make it after what his rookie year was?
A quick answer, no.
Yeah.
And secondly, it would be linked to the number of wins the Cleveland Browns had. You know,
Browns have to be, you know, 500 or better.
Correct. To be considered a player like that.
It's a couple years ago, like Betonio. Betonio didn't get in because he was a rookie. And
the reason why, it's no, again, this is no knock against Cam Irving, but when when you and your NFLPA, your NFLPA president or guys are up there in front of a whiteboard and you're writing names and you put down the three names that you think it should be because it is every year, mm-hmm. and then you go, boy, Cam Irving's a good player. You've got to take one of those three names off your list and put Cam Irving in, and tendency is that they won't.
Right.
So that coincides with your point.
That's why I'm going to say fiction, but I think Cam Irving has the capability of being a guy like you just said, Matt, like a Betonio, like a Mitchell Schwartz was, where you just reliable, rock solid, put him in, and you don't worry about him. I don't know if he'll rise to the elite level
sure.
where you get postseason accolades.
And you don't need it.
And do we?
Need,
and do we really? Do we really evaluate the way in which we draft based around the number of Pro Bowls that guys go to? Because Pro Bowls are hard to go to, and I think it's actually easier once you go to one to go to more.
Right.
So look at the number of players. Gosh, I never sniffed the Pro Bowl. You know what I mean?
Right.
And people say, well, you played 8 years in the National Football League. You've started, you know, a few years. You did this, did it. It's like, it's if you can stay and sustain, and for my, I was blessed to stay 6 years in one place. Mm-hmm. If Cam Irving can do the same, his career is going to be looked at from a positive standpoint without a Pro Bowl on his record.
Next.
Fact or fiction?
Final one, guys. We'll do some Cavs. Kevin Love should come off the bench tomorrow night in Game 4.
Definitive fact on that one. I was thinking about this all night last night because I knew this would be like the topic du jour for the next 48 hours.
It will be.
And that's a good thing because if they would have lost, then we wouldn't have wanted him talking about what the topics would be. But I think because what you're getting out of Jefferson defensively in that starting lineup, especially when the Warriors play Bogut, I think it creates some problems for them. And second, I think the Cavs bench desperately needs a scoring boost. And that maybe if you're seeing Love have some reservations about coming off the bench, that's how you spin it to him, that we need you to give this bench a boost. I mean, look at what the Warriors did to David Lee last year. I mean, they just couldn't play him because of the defense. Love is maybe not that bad of a defender, but he's struggling on defense, and it's a team that he just does not match up well against, but he can still help you off the bench.
And I'm going to say fact, and the reason why is, as Dino and I were talking prior to the show, it seems to me when Love and LeBron are in the game or when LeBron has his mindset or the play is called to get the ball to Love, the ball goes to Love almost, you know, 3 out of 5 times down the court. And then you get into, so he's going to get his post-ups to come in off the bench, and he'll score in bunches. And I think, to go back to your point, it's we need the energy off the bench. Love can bring that. He'll bring a presence about him. He'll bring a priority to get him the basketball, get him his points, and essentially get him off back off the floor so he's not a liability and get Jefferson back in. And, of course, the drive and kick to him in the corners and so on and so forth to get those three-pointers goes back to, you know, why I feel it is a fact that he has to come off the bench.
Yeah, because yesterday when we were doing the show, Bruce and I were doing the show, I mean, we had so much hate on Kevin Love, and I was thinking about it all night and into today. I say fact. I love how the energy that Richard Jefferson brought to the team in that starting lineup, and I think especially with the Cavs, the third quarter is as important as the first quarter is. Sometimes I think the third quarter for this team is even more important. I just like the way that lineup played last night. And I think Kevin Love will understand that. Look, when you have something that's working, we're not going to change it. We're just going to Kevin. We're going to move you off the bench. You're going to play in this role. Kevin Love re-signed here to win a championship. I don't think it's going to be a problem.
He focused on wins now, hurt feelings later.
Exactly.
I would think at this point, mend that relationship over the offseason if it really bothers him. And it's just, again, you just got to tell them this is the one team that you do not match up well against.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
It's not personal.
I really like Jefferson's cutting ability. That guy always seems to get, like, these easiest, like, layups. He gets the easiest looks out of anyone on the team right now.
And he and, you know, we talked about it with certain players. LeBron has a nice rapport with him, you know, finding him, making those cuts.
Mm.
And the defense and the length really pays off. So we're unanimous on that one. Fact. And that is fact or fiction. Well done, Mr. Fontana.
Oh, thanks.
All right. We will utilize you again coming up, Matt Fontana. We will open up the Twitter mailbag. If you've got a question for Matt Wilhelm or Andrew Gribble as the Browns wrap up minicamp today, please get on Twitter. Go to @Browns_daily. Use the hashtag AskCBD. You can also call us up 216-578-0850 as Cleveland Browns Daily continues here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back here at the Dog Bowl in Berea, it's Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Dave DiNatale in for Nathan Zagura and Jason Gibbs today. Matt Wilhelm and Andrew Gribble are with me, and it's time to open up our mailbag on Twitter. You can tweet the show at Browns_daily. Use the hashtag AskCBD. Matt Fontana, our producer, rejoins us. Matt, what do you got for the guys?
A lot of tweets coming in, so keep them coming. Brian has a question for Matt Wilhelm. He said, first off, Matt, what are your thoughts on the linebacker core? And he asked if there was any linebacker on the team that reminds you of you when you played.
I would say that Christian Kirksey has a little bit of the way I played the game maybe early in my career in his game. And then, you know, I grew into a starter the same way Christian Kirksey's growing into a starter hopefully this year. So I would say him most likely based on what I've seen. But I have optimism around this group because of the drafting of Emmanuel Ogba. I think Paul Kruger's, you know, invigoration or reinvigoration about the game of football with his positivity and his tweets about coming to work every day in this scheme for Ray Horton and especially for Hugh Jackson. I think, you know, Scooby Wright's going to be a very interesting guy that I'm going to watch all training camp long. Dominique Alexander, the other undrafted free agent out of Oklahoma. Guy started 35 games, you know, at Oklahoma. That's a big deal. Yeah. That's a lot of football. And I think he's going to push those number twos because I think behind Kirksey and DeMario Davis, you've got the Justin Tuggle kid and you've got Tank Carter. Both are going to be special teams contributors and the next guy up. If Scooby, who is a splash player, can make splash plays, he's going to make an impact.
He's intriguing.
He is very intriguing. So, but that all being said is, as I said, Tuggle and Carter on special teams, Scooby Wright and Dominique Alexander have to make an impact, yes, understanding the defense when they get an opportunity, but they have to be rock solid on special teams because I think when Chris Tabor has the opportunity to evaluate that room, as many inside linebackers or backups play special teams like I did in my career, they want the sure thing. And I think Tank Carter is a guy that's done that his whole career. So he's got to be ousted, you right. know, by someone else who both outperforms him on defense and outperforms him on special teams. But overall, I think there's going to be a lot of sacks coming out of that linebacker room, both inside and outside.
I think the interesting element to this whole linebacker discussion is Schobert, because I don't think we've seen a guy. We haven't seen a guy recently that can play both outside and inside.
Right.
So last year, and I don't know about the year before, but you know, it broke down pretty simply. You kept four linebackers on the inside, four on the outside. And now you wonder how it breaks down.
Right.
Are you gonna, do you keep five outside linebackers? I mean, because of what you want to do as a pass rushing
sure.
unit, and you have a lot of young guys, and you have a guy like Mingo, who's someone you want to see come into his own in his fourth season.
We didn't even make mention of Nate Orchard.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? So things are going to be very interesting at the linebacker room as well.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, a lot of guys are a lot of these guys that we haven't normally talked about have been playing pretty well. Some tough decisions, but it's a better problem to have than maybe the Browns.
I was going to say more depth than we've seen in a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't talked about maybe enough because there was so much talk about the quarterbacks and wide receivers going into last season, but the depth at outside linebacker was just not there at this time last year. You were probably relying a little too much on Nate Orchard early, and he was a guy that developed as the season went on instead of being coming in right away because he was making that transition from 4-3 to 3-4.
And another thing, guys, is Armonte Bryant, you know, serving a four-game suspension to start the season, played a lot of outside linebacker, can do both with the hand on the ground, but also, you know, playing in that outside linebacker room. So what are the odds that he makes this team? You know,
he's dealing with a four-game suspension right off the bat, but then so you don't have to worry about him when it comes to the 53.
Correct.
But then you got to factor him into
someone's
got to
go when he comes back.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Next, Mr. Fontana.
Brian has another question. This one's for you, Andrew. Outside of Coleman and Ogbar, are there any other rookies you feel can make an impact this year?
Well, I think the guy that I just mentioned is Schobert, is just because I think he can do so many different things for you on this team, and I think Schobert is one that stands out to me because he's made some plays early in OTAs and minicamp, and then another fourth-round guy, simply because the numbers right now at that position is Seth DeVolve. You've had Barnage out in minicamp, and the rest of that tight end group is really young with very minimal experience all around. You've yet to see them, the Browns make a move to maybe add a veteran at that position. It hasn't happened yet. So maybe you are relying on a young player for that number two tight end job. And I like Duvall's athleticism. I think he's got the potential to help this team as both a blocker and a pass catcher. But it's going to be competitive. He's going to have to beat out someone like an E.J. Bibbs or even a Connor Hamlet. Those look pretty good out there these last couple days. So Duvall, the opportunity is there just sheerly from a number standpoint.
You mentioned, I mean, I know he comes in with the pedigree of almost being, you know, from a wide receiver standpoint, he can catch the ball, but the blocking aspect.
He looks like a tight end. Yeah. I mean, that guy's in good shape. I just think he's gonna have to learn a lot. I mean, coming from an Ivy League school into the NFL,
right,
and just not playing a ton of football his last couple years at Princeton. I think it's gonna make for a learning curve, but he has an opportunity in front of him.
And I think the one thing that the Cleveland Browns will have to have a watchful eye on is as they create this 53 and designate who goes becomes practice squad is you drafted 14 guys and got super young, mm-hmm. but do you want to put those draft picks on your practice squad who may have been potentially on the radar of other teams to pluck some of your draft picks out of this 14-person class and sign them directly to their active roster? So it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, who makes this 53 and who's designated as full-on developmental.
Yeah, it's a risk. It's a risk to even think you can get him to the practice squad first off and then keeping him
right
there. I mean, you saw
correct
it last year. You got Hayes Pillard to the practice squad, but you couldn't keep him there. The Jaguars
right
got him after a couple weeks.
Yeah, there's so much, so many needs out there for so many teams. All right, Matt, what else you got?
This one's from Bob. He says, guys, any defensive linemen that we normally know, rotation guys, that might be in jeopardy of not making the roster?
That's one room that I think if I had to pick the five or six guys that would make the team, I'm sure I'd almost get five out of six right now.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at a potential competition going into camp, you look at potentially that second nose guard. You're looking at Meter or Lawrence Stample, the undrafted free agent out of Florida State. I look at a guy like Jackson Jeffcoat, had a great college career, looking for a new opportunity. Maybe he's someone that can latch on to this roster. But again, you're going to have to beat someone out, and you're pretty solid at those end positions. And you've got Desmond Bryant, who's maybe you're arguably one of your defense's best players. Right now, he's a guy that's locked in. Shelton's locked in. Hughes
is locked in. You got Xavier Cooper's locked in.
And Nassib you drafted.
Correct.
And it's just that's one of the most – the one room that didn't have much turnover in the offseason and one that you don't expect to have much over the next few months.
Sure.
Well, a little bit of – it's nice to have a little bit of firmness at a particular position group where you just kind of – you kind of feel like you have a group that's locked in.
Yeah.
Got time for one or two more here, Mr. Fontana.
All right, this is from Kalen. Guys, what do you think the wide receiver makeup will be come week one for the Browns?
Could we have two rookies starting at wide receiver? Maybe not week one, but maybe
eventually. Yeah. I wouldn't peg it as that at this moment because I really like what – well, it depends on you line up two wide or three wide because I look at Andrew Hawkins as a guy that's going to be in the slot for you.
Yes.
He's one of the veterans in that room. I see Coleman. I like Hawkins. If it's a long shot to maybe project this, but you've seen what you've seen out of Terrell Pryor in practice, mm-hmm. you wonder if he's a guy that can even rise up to that status right away. I think we're going to learn a lot about the other three drafted wide receivers in August. I think that once you start seeing what they're doing in preseason, Jordan Payton's got a lot of catching up to do. I think Higgins is a guy that's maybe more NFL ready for year one than Ricardo Lewis is.
Yep.
So he's someone that you maybe look at as someone that can latch on. So if you're looking at the two potential rookie wide receivers starting, I would look at Coleman and Higgins as of now. But maybe Payton can make up a lot of ground in a hurry. I mean, he's a guy that had got a ton of experience at UCLA, caught a ton of passes.
Yeah, and if I had to pick four receivers that are going to get the bulk of my targets at the outset of the season, I would go Coleman, I would go Hawkins, mm-hmm. I would go Pryor, and I'd take Higgins as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good mix of kind of young and old, with Pryor kind of being the X factor with not a whole lot of wide receiver experience. So, but he brings something different that all the other guys and RG3 talked about it. 6'5", 230 plus, 4'3", 40, big and physical. You can't teach that.
Sounds like guys like Taylor Gabriel and Marlon Moore are going to have to really come back and be ready to try to keep their jobs.
The thing that Moore has, and I've seen him, I think Marlins look good as a wide receiver out there in what we've seen in OTAs and minicamp, but his value is so high in terms of what he does on special teams. I mean, you're coming off a year where you Johnson Badamosi isn't here anymore.
Right.
So you need some strength at those gunner positions, and I think he would need that's one thing that makes him a valuable for people that are like projecting 53s. He's someone you can't really forget about.
But what if there's so much Corey Coleman will say he's locked in at one, and there's uncertainty at 2, 3, 4. That I just said would be Pryor, Hawkins, Higgins, that if Moore start creeping into that 3-4 where he's in consideration for it, and as we saw towards the end of last year when he started playing more wide receiver because of depth, he was playing no special teams. You know, so his value was being ready to play wide receiver, not getting a lot of targets, but out there, and not really making an impact on the game, which he did on special, but playing no special teams. So we're getting very little out of him on offense and nothing out of him on special teams. Hmm. We're like, I'd rather have him be one or the other.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like that may in fact work against him because we've got a group of young wide receivers, you know, who are hungry, and we've got a bunch of young rookies who are going to have to make this team on special teams where it's going to be the only way they make the team.
Yeah, that room right now is crowded. And it's probably going to be crowded up until the final cut because I would think that's where you're going to see – when you go from 90 to 75, I don't know if you're going to see a ton of movement there. But from 75 to 53, that's where there's going to be, I would think, a significant drop in numbers there.
Indeed. Great questions, everybody. I promise tomorrow on the show we'll reopen the mailbag again. So if you've got additional questions for Matt and Andrew, again, on Twitter, Browns_daily, use the hashtag AskCBD. I promise we'll open up the mailbag and get to more questions tomorrow. But up next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, we'll hear from Browns defensive back Tremont Williams as minicamp wraps up today here in Berea. Players headed out for the next couple of weeks. We'll hear from Tremont coming up next here on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, back here on Cleveland Browns Daily as we celebrate this final day of minicamp. We celebrate, I guess. But the Browns are heading out now, and they're enjoying their break. They'll start enjoying their break. They'll be back here in about 6 weeks or so for the start of training camp. That includes veteran cornerback Tremon Williams, who media caught up with yesterday before the end of minicamp. Here's Tremon Williams.
Can you talk about all the changes that have gone on around you backfield this offseason?
It's new, I guess. That's the least I can say, but I think it's been for the better. I think we have some young guys in, young, hungry guys, who's done a good job this whole offseason of coming in, putting in the work, learning the defense, and doing an excellent job just leading the group. It's going to be some young guys who's going to have to step up for us. And those guys are doing an excellent job of leading so far.
Is it fair to say there's a lot of unknown about your group this year? I mean, you have two different safeties starting. You don't know for sure when Joe's getting back.
it's always a lot of uncertainty. But you can't count on that. You can only control what you can control. And that's just coming out and working. And you hope whenever the time comes to get on the field that everybody just comes together, and that's what we're looking to do right now.
I know there are some things about last year that surprised you. I mean, you had been used to losing, and then you guys lost some games. How did you deal with that, and how difficult was that for you having to go through that?
It was real difficult. For the most part, halfway through the year, you know, I was still kind of getting adjusted to it. But later on in the year, start to kind of wear on you in different ways, just pulling from different ways, just with frustration, you being out there trying to do more than you want to, just trying to make something happen at some point, and it don't get no better. You know, when you at that point, it's not going to get any better. So we got a fresh start now, and, you know, hopefully, like you said, I mean, we can come out and have a better year this year.
When the front office, new front office, new staff, they let a lot of veterans go, obviously. Did mm-hmm. you think you might be included in that group, or did you know you'd be around?
I had a good feeling that I'd be around, but at the same time, I always evaluate everything. Whenever a move like that happens, you have to evaluate everything as a person, and I did evaluate everything, but at the same time, I always thought I'd be here.
Been watching quarterbacks for a lot of your life. What are your impressions of Griffin?
I like him. He has all the tools to be a really good quarterback for us. So I really like him. He's come in. He's put in the work. He's took the coaching. I think that was one of the things that that you hear around about him. But he's been taking the coaches. He's been doing an excellent job of leading his team.
When a guy is that fast, I mean, he's probably as fast as any quarterback who's ever played, going by his combine times from some years ago. How do you treat that as a cornerback when you know that guy, whether he's going to go or not, might go?
Well, as a cornerback, you just got to understand that you may have to cover a little bit longer. You know, anytime you got a guy who can move in a pocket like that, who can extend plays, as a DB, it can get frustrating if you can't contain a guy like that. So you just have to understand that you have to cover a little bit longer. And as long as you understand that, you'll be able to get through the downs.
Practicing against Manziel, obviously he was mobile, but is it a similar sensibility playing corner against a mobile corner, or are there different kinds of mobility wherein you'd look at Manziel way differently than you look at RG3?
I think so. I think they're two totally different players. Within Robert, you know, you're going to get a guy who has those abilities to run the ball, but at the same time, you know, he's looking to stay in the pocket. He's looking to make the possession throws. He's looking to make the plays with his arm. And if given opportunity to run, then he's going to, you know, do what he have to do. But at the same time, you know, I think those guys are two different players. Similar quality, but two different players.
You talk about the type of guy Robert is, that he's taken to coaching, that he's putting in the work. After last year and a lot of the drama surrounding Johnny, is that a relief to you? Do you think that's really important to this team to have a quarterback who puts in that time?
I think so. And I think for the most part, you know, to be fair to the other quarterbacks, they all have put in the time. But for the foundation of this team to be good, you know, we have to have a leader behind center who's going to put in the work, who's going to be a real pro and lead by example. And I think the guys that we have will do that.
Coach Jackson has said he's not going to name a starter until he's good and ready. Would you feel like you'd like to know? This team needs a leader. This team needs to know who
it is. We would, but we understand, you know, what it takes to get this team better, and competition does get teams better. So I think that's the right route to go about it that coach is going.
What about how, when we watch from the outside, Josh is Josh. He's a veteran. He's always going to be who he mm-hmm. is. But to me, Robert looks like he's acting like he's a starter, like he's the guy. Is that how it comes across to you?
I think all quarterbacks should act like they're the starter. From the bottom guy, who they may consider the bottom guy, to the top guy. You have to prepare as a starter, because even if you don't start, at some point you're going to be called upon. And when you're called upon, you don't want to let your team down. So I think all guys have to prepare as starters.
Talked to you, and it was one of those moments of frustration, and you kind of intimated that had you known it was going to be like it turned out to be, you might, you know, not have wanted to come here. Can you talk about just how difficult it was for you personally to experience a year like that, and maybe how that has led to you having a different appreciation for the game this year, or how do you maybe feel renewed or anything like that this year?
It was frustrating personally for me, because it was a lot that went into it. Obviously, every player come into the year, every year, and they put in a lot of hard work, and we expect when we get on the field for to see that hard work pay off. And when it don't, I mean, the least you can say is you're frustrated. And for me personally, like you said, you know, I've been in the winning program pretty much my whole career. And to come here, and I wasn't naive enough to say that, okay, I'm going to come here and we're going to be, you know, 10-6 or 11-5. But at the same time, you know, I thought that we would be better. You know, I thought for sure that we would be better. And it was for a lot of different reasons I was frustrated, other than just the record. It was just a lot of things that was going on. And I haven't been a part of that. You know, I've never been a part of that. So, like you say, I do take appreciation in what's going on right now, from the way coach is treating things. He's making sure the foundation of this organization is in tip-top shape. And if you can get the foundation in tip-top shape, it's going to be some good years ahead of us. So I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about the energy that, you know, Coach Jackson is just put in his organization, and I'm all in. Just like everybody probably in the state of Cleveland is all in, I'm all in.
There's something to be said for locker room culture and locker room environment between players. It's not just coaches coach, players play, front office does what the front office does. Do you think that whatever was going on last year that frustrated you behind the scenes, do you kind of get the sense that there was an intense emphasis from the organization to flush that out and kind of get the slate wiped clean?
I think so. I think so. Just for me watching what they've done, you know, and I'm a guy who I like to pay attention to a lot of things. People may not know. I may not say much, but I observe a lot. And I think the moves that we've made has been a part of that. And like I said, I think it's better for the team. So I'm excited about, you know, what the season's going to bring. You know, there's no promises that, you know, we're going to have a better record or what, but I think the foundation of this team is going in the right direction.
You've seen any change out of Justin Gilbert in this offseason? And then compared to last year, what do you need to see out of him moving forward to show you that he's committed to being that guy that you need?
Well, I like his attitude right now. You know, I think he's refreshed also. He's on a clean slate. New coaches, guys who understand his ability, guys who's going to try to get the best out of his ability. Justin has just been doing an excellent job so far, you know, even on the field. You know, he's been taking the coaching. I think it was one practice, the coach asked him to change up something. And normally players can't, you know, do it just off of coach telling you to do it one day, but I think he changed it up within that same practice and he continues to do it every day. That's the type of detail he's kind of paying attention to right now. So that's great for him. That's great to see out of him. And like I said, he's on a fresh start, totally new, different coaching staff. So I'm going to be watching Justin closely myself. So I think he's going to do an excellent job for us.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to be watching Justin Gilbert very closely, as Tremont Williams says. Tremont Williams also talks about being all in. I love the fact he used the term state of Cleveland. That's outstanding stuff from Tremont Williams. Before we go to break, Andrew Gribble, we've got a couple of notes to pass along. A little bit of breaking news.
Yeah, you know, the Browns have steadily been signing their draft picks, and number 12 is a QB, Cody Kessler. There's two. He signs his rookie contract, leaving, I believe, Schobert and Nassib, I think, are the last two. I'm sure those will get wrapped up.
Two Big Ten guys waiting for more money.
Rather than later. And then additionally, the Browns signed kicker Patrick Murray. He was here on a tryout basis all week. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, they waived David Richards. So that wide receiver room is down to 11 at the moment. But, you know, I think Hugh mentioned it in his press conference. Coons is dealing with a little bit of an injury right now. Nothing major, but you're going to be entering training camp, barring any more moves, with two kickers. I think that's not much of a surprise. Coons had a good rookie year, but you want to keep competition in that building, and Murray's got some experience.
All right. So, again, Cody Kessler is signed, and we actually saw him walk upstairs and go into Sashi Brown's office before the show started. So Cody Kessler is signed, and Patrick Murray has been brought in by the Browns and signed as a kicker. All right. That and more coming up as we'll wrap up the show with Matt Wilhelm and Andrew Gribble. I'm Dave DiNatale. It's Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I was noticing during the break, the hard hats are walking around here on the second floor. They're ready to start doing some serious work here in the building while the team is going to be going on hiatus.
They definitely are. And I don't – is it – I've heard mid-July?
Yeah, around okay, then so everything like should be all set.
30 to 40 days away from everything being ready to go.
And I mean, it's been intense since January.
It has.
Up here. I mean, there's been some days where I've gotten the recommendation to go work from home. It's a little noisy up here. There's already – taking some looks around the building. It looks completely brand new. It's just a layout of everything. And it's going to be top-notch when they get back.
Yeah, we stuck it through. CBD stuck it through.
I know.
Because there was an opportunity at some point for us to come down and do it from
the Galleria yeah.
studios consistently. But it's been nice. I've enjoyed the lunches, and it makes me feel right at home here.
I respect that. Gribbs was able to partake before the show, and I told him, like, we can't have hungry Gribbs before the show starts.
Yeah, at about, like I said, I went –
you went
to the cafeteria
to dog bowl in
and
3 minutes
I went
food.
Yeah. I went down there, I looked at three food items, I was like, I don't care what else is here, I need to grab this and get up to the studio on time.
Well, we appreciate it, Gribbs.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, we're back tomorrow because both Nathan and Gibbs are both off again tomorrow. So
Gibbs is getting married
we'll have more tomorrow. We'll hear we'll play back Hugh Jackson's press conference from today tomorrow, amongst other things. Probably do a little Friday forecast as well. Get you ready for the Cavs and the Warriors game for tomorrow. That will do it for us today. Gribbs, good working with you, man.
No problem. See you guys around.
Absolutely. Matt, see you tomorrow, man.
It's like old times, man.
Absolutely. All right. For Matt Wilhelm, for Matt Fontana, our producer, and for Andrew Gribble, I'm Dave DiNatale. Thanks so much for listening today to Cleveland Browns Daily. I'll talk to you at 5 on the Bruce Hooley Show. We'll have a lot to talk about then, but stay tuned. The Golden Boys with Aaron Goldhammer and Emmett Golden comes your way next, right after the break, here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.